بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. We talked about the concept of book last week. Just to sum up what we said and to give a kind of classified meaning of the concept of book in the Quran, I just quickly recap what we said last week. The book in the Quran is used in many different meanings, and it is due to the concept of book itself, which means something which is organized, which is written, not in the meaning that written by a pen, but something which is ordained, something which is predestined. Therefore, it could be used in many different meanings. Now, what are these meanings? First, well, and the most understandable is book as the meaning of book of guidance. So, book is used as book of guidance. And this is like Quran, like Injil, like other things. And sometimes it is used, not exactly in the same meaning, but something similar to that which we discussed, I think, in the beginning of our tafsir, that وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ or وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Kitab here means a written obligation. Obligation written for a nation. So, أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Salat on the mu'minin is a written obligation. So, when, for example, kitab comes accompanied with hikmah, it means obligation. When it comes in an absolute manner without anything else, it means the book of guidance. So this is the first meaning of kitab in the Quran. The second is the book of our deeds, what is written of what we do in this world. So it is kitabul a'mal, kitabul a'mal. Now, every single person has a book for himself. So, for persons, there is a book. And this book, as we said, is written by two angels, because good deeds and bad deeds could not be placed or could not be recorded in one angel. The angel of bad deeds is created in such a way that it could go to hell. Of course, it doesn't suffer there because it's created in that way. The angel of good deeds is created in a way that it could go to Jannah. The good deed would go to Jannah, bad deed would go to hell. Now, if the good deed is so overwhelming, the angel of bad deeds would disappear. Okay, so we don't have it with ourselves later on when we want to go to Jannah. Or vice versa, if the angel of bad deed is so overwhelming, so great, the angel of, well, good deeds is overpowered and would disappear. And we don't go to Jahannam, to hell, with good deeds. Well, certainly we don't. But of course, there are balances in place, and that would determine where should we go in hell. So, good deeds and bad deeds, because when we say it is recorded or it is written, it doesn't mean that they write it in a book. They just capture the action, and not the action that we see, as we said, for example, when we pray, the action that we see, the outward action that we see, is just bowing down, prostrating, is just the physical kind of certain actions and some words coming out of our mouth. But this has many aspects, implications hidden in it, especially in the deeper layers of this world. All these are captured in that angel. And that angel would show it again on the day of judgment. For us, it is replayed actually for us on the day of judgment when we see that angel. And that angel is with us all the time. Now, these two angels, it's difficult to determine when one of them is going to disappear and we are decided to go to hell or to paradise. But certainly, they are completely two separate things, two different creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they are together for our book. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. This is in Surah Isra. For every human being, we have put their deeds on their necks. And on the day of judgment, we bring it out as a book, we open it for them, and we tell them, now see, this is what you have done. اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You could judge yourself, you don't need anyone to judge you. Now, every person has a book. Every nation has a book. So Muslims have a book. Christians have a book. And every other nation. Why? We don't know. Why is this so? Because every nation is so bound to their prophets. Our actions, well, if we want to justify this, our actions have no meaning unless if we attribute them to the prophets which has guided us. This guidance is a very, very complicated kind of thing in this world. And the concept, the Shia concept, that every action should be attributed to an imam. Unless you know your imam, your actions are nullified. Well, it has a very kind of simplistic meaning which we use. This is not meant, of course, by it. It has a deeper meaning. Your actions, I mean, when you perform salat, if this is not attributed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, if you are not doing it on the guidance received by the Prophet, then it doesn't have the same meaning as Allah is going to take when you do it following the Prophet, peace be upon him. Some people in this world are very, very important. They are the means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You couldn't get to him without them. It is not possible. And when we want to discuss about a verse coming soon, قَالُوا إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا, inshallah we'll talk about this, that yes, some human beings are very, very important, are essential for us. Therefore, every nation has a book. كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا. Every nation is called to this book. And human race has a book. وَوُضَعَ الْكِتَابِ. On the day of judgment, the very huge book of all actions are laid down and people would look into it. And, well, that is something which, of course, includes all these books in itself. Now, human race as well, they have a book, but this book is comprised of two separate books. The book of good deeds, well, the book of good people and the book of bad people. Now, this is when the angels are overpowered by the other one. The bad angel, for example, if it is overpowered by the good angel, or the good angel, if it is overpowered by the bad angel, then the book is decided to go in which part. This is in very clearly is stated in Surah Mutaffifin. Kalla inna kitab al fujjar lafi sajjin. The book of Fujjar is in Sajjin. Well, what is Sajjin? It is a book. It is again a book. Wa ma adraka ma Sajjin. Kitabun marqum. Waylun yawma idhin lil mukadzibin. So we have Sajjin, which is Kitab al-Fujjar, and Kalla inna Kitab al-Abrar lafi'alliyin. The book of Abrar good, the righteous people, is in the Aliyin. And what is Aliyin? Again, it is Kitabun Marqum. It's a written book. But that written book is very, very near to Muqarrabun. Again, to those people who have to accept all these things. All these are going to go through them. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عَلِّيُّونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ مُقَرَّبُونَ It is actually with Muqarrabun, this book. They are looking at it. It is at their presence. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ So, سِجِّين and الليون are two different books for human race. Okay? So, Book of Guidance, Book of Actions. Now we come to the greater book of all, and that is Book of Destiny and the Book of Decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we talked about Ummul Kitab and Lawh al Mahfuz and all these things. This is a book written. Well, when we say written, not with pen, of course, decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this world, this is the plan of this world when it comes before its creation. And when we say it is before its creation, it means it is its cause. If we take the cause and effect, this world is an effect of that book, which is the cause of this creation. It comes first. It is very natural, very understandable. This world could not have been created just without a plan, just out of blue. There should have been several different types, levels of plans before we have come to existence. So that book is the plan of this book. And of course, there are two different plans. One plan is the plan, the necessary plan, something which is not going to be changed. And another plan, when it comes to action, when this material world wants to actually get created by those causes, there comes different kind of things, and this is the lawh of al-mahw wal-ithbat. Then things might change a little bit due to circumstances, but not the actual plan is not changed. So there is a book which is called Ummul Kitab. Again, this is book, and it's Ummul Kitab for the whole world. Now, again, we hear in the Quran something very strange, and that is every single creature has its own Ummul Kitab. In fact, apart from the very great Ummul Kitab of this world, Quran says, لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ For everything which has an ajal, a determined time to come over it, to pass over it, so for every creature, everything that Allah has created, and everything has an ajal in this world. Even the angels, their ajal is the day of judgment. Well, then everything changed and no one has any ajal anymore. No one has any appointed time. This world is created for an appointed time. And therefore everything in it is created for that appointed time, well, to come. Now, Quran says, لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ For every appointed time, well, it means everything which has an appointed time, there is a book. It means, you remember I gave the example of chromosomes and DNA last week about our physical creation. It is our book, of course. That DNA is a written book for us, that how we should grow. But that is only physical. What about other aspects of our life? What about what we are going to do in this world, what we are going to gain, how rich we are going to be, how poor we are going to be? Of course, all these depend on our strives and efforts, but don't think that these are all come out of nothing, out of blue. There is a plan for everything in this world. And in fact, when we look into Quran, it says that everything is organized. Everything is systematic in this world. It is not as you think that things are happening haphazardly, by chance, by accident. There is no accident in this world. Everything is measured. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ We have created everything with measurement. And of course, every creature with appointed time has its own book in which everything is written. And of course, in that book is written that we are going to have, for example, we, human beings, going to have free will, and this free will is going to be used, and how this is affected by different things. You might say, okay, we have free will, but we could not exert it. You could not use it completely. Suppose we have free will, but we are sometimes under the pressure of circumstances so strongly that our free will is actually overwhelmed. So is Allah going to judge us according to our free will or according to those circumstances? Now Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah is not going to oblige anyone more than what He has given them. وَلَدَيْنَا كِتَابٌ. And there is a book with us. يَنْتَقُ بِالْحَقِّ. About every person on the day of judgment. It speaks the truth. Okay. How this person was born, where they were born, what were their circumstances, were they born in the family of a prophet, or in family of Pharaoh, was it the wife of Pharaoh or wife of Nuh? Everything is written, okay, in that book, and then all these circumstances is taken into consideration and a judgment is passed. So it is not just a very simple, easy judgment. This is kafir, this is mu'min, you go to Jannah, you go to hell. No, this is not the case. Everything is taken into consideration. Then a judgment will be passed that everyone would concede and admit that this is the justice. And of course, justice is something which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we concede justice, we accept justice, we confess with justice, and we admire justice, it is because is just a glimpse, a very twinkling light of His justice coming to us. And we think that, yes, we have to be just. And then, amazingly, and of course, in a foolish way, we think that, okay, Allah should judge justly among people on the Day of Judgment, and what we hear is not just. Well, of course, justice doesn't come out of us. It comes out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can make sure that He is going to show His justice on the Day of Judgment. This is a summarized kind of what we talked last week about the book. Every creature with a point time has a book, and of course the great book of the whole creation, Ummul Kitab. I think that would suffice to of course there are many, many other complicated things here which we have to skip, because then we wouldn't have a tafsir class of Book of Allah, we would have a tafsir class of the Ummul Kitab and other books here. Okay, we move to other verses. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. Now, last week there was a Quran here I didn't need. This week I need it and it's not here. And this is all... You might think it's all out of accident. Okay, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka lamina al mursaleen, you are from Mursaloon. And then, of course, these people are not going to believe in you because the world is realized about them. He gives an example of a city which rejected its prophets. So this is in fact an example for the people of Mecca, or for anyone who hears the message of the prophet, that this, you are a messenger, you have come here, you have conveyed the word of Allah, now give them the example of a city which rejected the Mursaloon, those who were sent by us to convey our message to them. So it's quite a proper example being mentioned here. Now, mathal in Quran is used in two different meanings. One meaning is the example. So, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. Give them the example of people of the city. And قَرْيَة means the city. Of course, sometimes قَرْيَة used as village, but certainly it is not used in the Quran as village, because very, very great civilizations are mentioned in the Quran and the word قَرْيَة is used for them. So is city. Cities or even countries are mentioned as قَرْيَة. So this is the example of a city in which the prophets were sent. So example, the other meaning of مَثَل in Quran is a parable. Well, parable is actually an example, an unreal example given so that we learn a lesson out of it. So for example, when Allah says in Surah Baqarah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْلَحِ أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوذَةً وَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Allah, well, is not ashamed of giving the parable of a fly and what is more than that is a parable. But example is a real case, which of course we have to learn lessons out of it. So mathal always doesn't mean a parable, because if we say parable, if we use the word parable here, it means this is not a real case. It's just a story given so that we learn things out of it. But this is not the only meaning of mathal. So here is the example. وَضَرَبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Give the example of people of a city when messengers came to them. Now, whether these messengers came one after the other, or they came together, of course the verses that follows tells us that yes, these messengers came together. And it shows that it is possible, it doesn't necessarily, it is not necessarily compulsory that one messenger should go to any nation. Well, there could be many, many messengers going at the same time to one nation, and that's because circumstances are different. So, for example, you have Musa and Harun, both of them going to Fir'aun, and both of them being messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it was only Musa who was speaking, and it was because Musa insisted that he couldn't do the message alone. It was very hard to do it. And the example of Musa is very, very interesting, because he was a very outspoken person, even with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah told him, go to Fir'aun and warn him, he said, why don't you send Harun? Why should I go there? Because, well, I cannot speak very well. Harun could speak better than me. So, wouldn't you please send Harun to them instead of myself? And then, of course, it was not possible. And he asked Allah to make Harun a wazir, a support for him. And Allah, of course, accepted and gave the message to Harun as well. So, there were two prophets. Sometimes in Banu Israel, we are told there were 70 prophets at the same time preaching. And this shows that if the nation is very stubborn, and of course Allah cares about that nation very much, He would send many, many prophets at the same time to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here the case is, well, this city, they say, well, we are not sure about which city Allah is talking about here. What they say is Antakya in Turkey, the city which we are to... I don't know what's the Latin name for Antakya. Antiochus or something? Antioch, yeah. Antioch. And some people say they were real messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some say no, they were apostles of Isa alayhi salam, who were sent by Isa to preach in Antioch. And... give the message of Isa alayhi salam to them. Well, we could not decide which side is preferable, so we just leave it as messengers. Here it says messengers, it doesn't say apostles, for example, of Isa alayhi salam. So give them the example of the people of a city when messengers came to them. And we sent at the beginning two messengers to them. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. They denied them. They rejected them. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. And then we sent a third one, and all three preached at the same time. Now, well, of course, two, three, or four, I mean, the number is not important if a nation wants to reject. Now, the point is that most probably this third one was someone which was accepted by people of that city, someone which had some status. I mean, when those two messengers were rejected, yeah? We supported or gave them strength. We gave them strength with a third one. So they had more strength when this third one. So this is the whole point. Why they gained more strength with the third one? Because the third one was someone of high status in that city. And if he was not claiming that he was a prophet, probably everyone would have accepted any other thing that he would have. Like our prophet, for example, in Mecca. If he said anything, because he was a trusted person, if he said anything but the very thing that he said, that I am messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone would have accepted his words. So it was a very, very strong personality for to be sent to people of Mecca. Now, here it says, we strengthened them with a third messenger, and all of them said, فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. We are messengers of Allah to you. Now, they were told, قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. Now, when you hear the conversation of prophets and nations, don't think that they just go into the street and talk to people. Of course they do. But here, what is reported is most probably what the rulers of that city were saying to those prophets. Usually they started from the grassroots and they ended up in palace, because they were taken there, because they became a danger, and then they were argued by the kings, by the rulers and other things. Well, of course, the exception of Musa alayhi salam, when he straightforwardly, right from the beginning, went to the palace of Musa, is a very, very extraordinary case, actually. Well, of course, because the only man he knew in probably Egypt was Pharaoh himself, because he was brought up in his house. He didn't know anyone else in Egypt among people of Egyptian people. So he went straight to the palace. But other prophets, they started from ordinary people and then they were ended up in the palace. So these arguments are usually the arguments between, but of course, since Allah doesn't pay any notice, it is not important for him whether that person is a king or a ruler. He never mentions in the Quran that the king said so and on the ruler. Just say the people said so. So, قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. They said, you are but human beings like us. وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And Ar-Rahman has not sent down anything. So, it means they believed that there is a big God, a great God, which creates other gods, of course. And that is Rahman. They believed in him, but they said, he has not sent any messenger. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكَذِبُونَ. You are but liars. Now, this very sentence, قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are but human beings like us, is mentioned in Quran very frequently. All nations, the only objection they had to the prophets at the beginning was that you are but human beings like us. It meant they could not accept that a human being could receive a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like ourselves, we say our imams and our prophets is superhuman. They are over human beings. Because we cannot accept that ordinary human beings could receive message from Allah, and this is their status as well. Now, the only difference is that we say, okay, they are not humans and they receive message and we accept them. They say they are humans, so they don't receive message. But the concept is very, very common, very prevailing among human beings, among human race, that human beings cannot receive message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is strongly, strongly rejected in the Quran. That yes, Allah could send down message to human beings, and it is only human beings which receive the message of Allah to convey it to other human beings. Now, we have a verse in Surah
Isra, two verses, verses number 94 and 95. Now, it very generally states, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا.
The only thing which barred, which deterred human beings, which deterred humans to believe when the guidance came to them, is that they told to the messengers, has God sent a human messenger to us? They could not accept this. And of course, this is out of arrogance, isn't it? Because we think, if they are human beings and we are human beings, if they could receive the message, why couldn't we? And of course, all of us think that we have a special status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only us that Allah could communicate with if He wants to communicate with anyone. Like this hadith reported by the Sunnis, if the message did not come down to Muhammad, peace be upon him, it would have come down to Omar. Because they thought that he had a very, or he thought that he had a very, very special status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our status. We think that if human beings are going to receive the message, why aren't we? Now, the Quran states in Surah Isra, this is actually the most important thing which barred people from believing. They said, إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشَرًا رَسُولًا. Has God given the mission of and His message to a human being? Now, Allah says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. Say, if there were angels walking on the earth, living on the earth, مُطْمَئِنِّين means they were living for a long time, they had a settlement on the earth. If the angels were walking and settling on the earth, then we would have sent down an angel to them as our messenger. But now, since you are human beings, we send a human being, we give the message to a human to convey it to you. So, the very concept, you see, all these, well, many of idolatry concepts are created out of this notion that people who have a kind of contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could not be human beings. So they say they are God. They are God incarnates. God has come down to them. They are not human beings anymore. God has taken the form of a human being. God has taken the shape of a human being. And all this comes out of this concept that human being is not capable of receiving the message. And he is. As I said last time, Allah has not created any creature superior to human beings. So, no prophet could be more than a human being. I mean, angels even are inferior to prophets, to human beings. So, it is a human being who receives the message of Allah. In the beginning of Surah Yunus, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Is it so amazing to human beings that we send down the message to a man, to a person from among them? Now, Surah Yunus, number 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Verse number 2, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَنْ أَنْذِرِ النَّاسِ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And then of course Kafirun said that because he showed miracles, they said, well, this is of course a human being and these miracles are magics. قَالُوا قَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِنْ هَذَا لَسْإِلَّا إِنَّ هَذَا لَسِحْرٌ مُّبِينٌ. This is a clear magic performed by these human beings. Just to give you a flavor how Quran has actually confronted this kind of opinion that human beings could not receive message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few examples. There are plenty of verses saying the same thing, that yes, people rejected because they thought Allah is not speaking to a human being, and Quran insists that the prophets are human beings, are actual human beings.
Now, in Surah Ibrahim, verses number 10 and 11, when Allah gives a summary of what happened between the prophets and their nations, generally,
a general kind of examination, survey of what happened from the beginning of the history up to the prophet, peace be upon him, what the nations said, what the prophet said, what the nations said.
Now, he said, the nations said, قالوا,
this is a very, very general kind of thing, إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا. They said, you are but human beings like us.
تريدون أن تصدونا عما كان يعبد آباؤنا. You mean to bar us, to prevent us from worshipping what our fathers were worshipping.
فأتونا بسلطان مبين. Bring us a clear proof that you are messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, قالت لهم رسلهم, their messengers told to them,
إن نحن إلا بشر مثلكم.
It's true, we are just human beings like you.
ولكن الله يمن على من يشاء من عباده.
But God gives His blessings to whoever from among His servants He wants. It means we are human beings, we are servants of Allah, but we have special blessings from Him. That is why we are receiving the message, and you are not.
وَمَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نَأْتِيَكُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ.
And of course, we cannot bring any miracle to you, any proof that you want, except when Allah gives us the permission. By His leave, we only could do this. So it's not something that whenever we wish to show you a miracle, we could do that. It is not possible. It's only Allah who gives us the leave, gives us the permission to do that.
وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ.
Now, many other examples. In Surah Mu'minun, for example, they said, مَا هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. This is only a human being like you. يَأْكُلُ مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ مِنْهِ. He eats from what you eat. وَيَشْرَبُ مِمَّا تَشْرَبُونَ. He drinks from what you drink. So, what kind of prophet is this? Why is he claiming that he's receiving a message while he's just someone like you? And about our prophets, they said, وَقَالُوا مَا لَهَذَا الرَّسُولَ. What is wrong with this messenger? What kind of messenger is this? يأكل الطعام. He eats food. Well, of course, he's messenger. ويمشي في الأسواق. And he goes to the market. He needs to go to market to buy things. What kind of messenger is this? لولا أنزل عليه الملائكة. Why angels don't do these things for him? If he is a prophet, why angels? So this concept is very, very, well, strong concept among human beings, even we ourselves. Now, the kind of concept that we have about a prophet or an imam is that, well, they were not human beings. We cannot imagine that they did some kind of human actions. They had human desires, they had human needs. We could not imagine this because, of course, well, we have accepted that they are not humans. They are superhumans, they are above humans, and they have brought the message. Other people, they said, no, they are humans, and they don't have a message. And both is wrong. They are humans, and they have received the message. They have received a blessing, a kind of extra blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has given them the message to bring to their kind, to their species. So, if angels were living on the earth, the prophets would have been angels. Now we are human beings, prophets are human beings. So what they said in this city, Ashab al-Qarya, قالوا, well, they repeated the same thing as all other nations had actually said. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا. You are just human beings like us.
وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ.
And Ar-Rahman has not sent down anything.
إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. You are but liars. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ.
Now, this is the end of the argument. It means that lots and lots of arguments had gone between them. They did not accept. At the end they said, okay, God knows that we are messengers to you. So this is the end of everything. It means that the argument was being cut, and they thought that they could not prove that they are messengers anymore. So Allah actually, well, this is a style of the Quran. It skips time, it skips arguments, it skips places. And here we have to understand that many, many arguments went between them. At the end they said, okay, Allah knows that we are the messengers. Now He will decide about you because you are rejecting it. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. Our Lord knows that we are messengers to you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. We have no duty but to bring you the message. Balagh is to convey the message. And we have clearly conveyed the message to you. And this is our only duty. Of course, we cannot force you. Well, no prophet could force anyone to religion. So this is the end of the argument. Now, they said, okay, we don't argue. You do as you do, and we do as we do. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. They said, no, we could not actually tolerate you in this city. You are preaching about God and other things. So that means the argument ended between the rulers and the prophets, and the prophets started to preach among the people, well, continued to preach among the people. Okay? Now, the rulers said that, no, we are not going to tolerate you in this city because we think that you are bad omens for us. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. You are bad omens for us. We have taken a sign of bad omen. تَطَيَّرْنَا is from ta'ir. And ta'ir in the Quran, well, ta'ir means a bird. And since usually in past times, people took the sign of good omen or bad omen from birds. So this became a very common word for good omen or bad omen. And now it says, قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. We have taken a sign of bad omen because of you. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُ. If you do not stop preaching, لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ. We would stone you, or we would kill you. Because raj means stoning, but it is all, well, because the outcome is killing, it is also used for killing. So, if you do not stop preaching, we would stone you or would kill you. وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. And a very harsh punishment you would receive from us. Okay, again the argument started between, well, they had ended the argument with the rulers, they were preaching among the people. Now, the rulers could not tolerate them preaching. They said, you are bad omen, you have to leave this city, or you have to stop preaching, or we would punish you. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Again, the argument. They said, the bad omen, your bad omens are with you. It means it is your actions which is your bad omen. Because, well, of course, Quran doesn't believe in good omens or bad omens or anything. A bad omen of a person is what they do, and a good omen of a person is what they do. So they said, your bad omen is with you. It is your action, it's your disbelief. It is what you are doing which is a bad omen for you. أَإِن ذُكَّرْتُمْ. If you could think, if you could be reminded. Of course, you don't think, so you don't realize that your bad omen is with you. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُصْرَفُونَ. You are a people who transgress the boundaries, the limits, well, limits of justice, limits of truth. So musraf means someone who transgresses the boundaries. And that's why musraf is usually used for sinners. It's not israf in the meaning that we use usually in excess of drinking and eating and spending. This is one case of israf, but israf is a more general term as used in the Quran. It means transgressing, going beyond the limits of service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond the limits of justice, beyond the limits of humanity. So, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. You are the people who have transgressed beyond the limits. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Now, this is a very, very interesting story. Who was this man? And came a man from the suburb of the city. And why this man was so important, why he was even more important than those prophets for these people, who of course they killed him, not those prophets. Inshallah, we'll discuss this next week. So if there is any question.
Yeah, there would be, inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay, brothers, sisters, we are now, with Sheikh's permission, we are about half an hour.
Yeah, I have to leave 9:15 today.
Okay,
so yeah,
we have about 25 minutes, yeah. Inshallah, before my tape runs out. Okay, member, please.
Oh, can you switch on the mic?
You said everything gets created if it's written in Kitabul Mubin.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that Kitab
al-Mubin
itself wasn't created?
No, it is created prior to other things, to this world coming into existence. Yes, it is created. Even the what goes before that, the Qalam, which is of course something which creates Kitab al-Mubin, or Kitab al-Mubin created by it, it is also created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are different levels of creation until it comes down to this world.
Now,
well, of course, it's not possible that Kitab al-Mubin's creation written in Kitab al-Mubin. That is a kind of a prior level to that which is written somewhere else, of course. Yeah. Well, we don't know if it's written somewhere else or not, but it is a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in its knowledge. But yes, certainly, creation of Kitab al-Mubin is not written in itself.
Can you go to the sisters first before we come to? No. Okay. Muhammad and then Safraj.
Sheikh, you spoke about the 70 Rasuls that were killed in the time of, at one time by Banu Israel. And you said one of the comments you made, I don't know whether you really meant it, was that if Allah really loves a community, then He will send so many messengers there. Are you trying to say that Allah actually loved the Jews?
Oh, because yes, it's explicitly mentioned in the Quran. فَضَّلَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عَلَىٰ الْعَالَمِينَ. Due to a knowledge that we had from them, we chose them among other nations. And this is what they actually use. They say that God only sent us His prophets, and therefore they don't accept anyone becoming Jew. They say this is our religion. And of course Allah cursed them because of this, because He said we revealed these to them because they were chosen nation and we wanted them to preach it so that other people would enter the religion of God. And they monopolized this for themselves. Yes, they were chosen nation, they were children of Abraham, they were children of Ya'qub alayhi salam, they were chosen because of their fathers, because they were children of prophets. But, well, you see, even if you are children of prophets, if you are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not comply with His standards, then you are cursed and you become the most despised nation in the world.
We are the chosen people. Not kuntum khairun.
Well, if we don't actually end up like Jews ended up, we could say we are a chosen nation. But we have to, I mean, this is very scary, as you say, we are chosen, because this would put lots and lots of burdens on us. And, well, about Banu Israel, there is something very special. Allah says, فَرْضَلْنَاهُمْ. We prefer them upon other nations. Now, about Muslims, he says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best ummah, which I have actually shown to the people. You have the best religion. And of course, it is controversial whether this verse is addressed to all Muslims or is addressed only to A'imma alayhimus salam. And there is a strong hints even in the context of these verses that it is addressed to very special people among the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Not to all the companions. When we say Ashab, and we have many things, or Sahabi, or such a thing, we always think that even Muawiyah was a Sahabi. And then we say, no, Ashab al-Prophet could not be chosen, could not. But really, the word was not used at the time of the Prophet like this. For example, Amir al-Mu'minin in Nahj al-Balagha, he says, نَحْنُ الشَّعَارِ وَنَحْنُ الْأَصْحَابِ. We are the companions of the Prophet. Not everyone, you could say that they are companions of the Prophet. Companion has a kind of meaning, like disciples of Isa alayhi salam. You have only 12 disciples to him. Not everyone was a disciple. Not everyone who followed him was a disciple of him. Now, not everyone who believed in Prophet could be said he was a companion of the Prophet. So there are strong hints that this verse is only addressed to, because it says, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Okay, is all Muslims like this? Or were all Sahaba of the Prophet like this? No, of course not. So it should be addressed towards a special kind of people.
Yeah, sisters?
The prayers have to be attributed to the Prophet or the Imam. Did I get that right?
We do it as a kind of following of the Prophet. I mean, we pray after the Prophet. It means we have learned it from him. If we just devise a kind of prayer, it is not accepted. All these are attributed to him, and only those things which are attributed to him are accepted, not anything else. Yeah. I mean, you could pray in a more difficult way, but Allah is not going to accept that from you. Yeah. Well, you could say many things like this, yeah, like Taraweeh.
Sir Franz?
In Surah Ibrahim, ayat 10 you were quoting, the last part of the ayat, it says, then فَتَعْنُوا بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ, and then bring us a clear warrant. Mm-hmm. And it makes it sound like that's very unreasonable, but it sounds reasonable. I mean, what's wrong with asking for that? Otherwise you can have many false prophets.
Yeah. Well, the point is, they had lots of proofs, okay? They wanted very extraordinary proofs from them. Like, for example, from our Prophet, Quran says, they say, you have to go to the sky, bring us a book, a written book, and saying that this is the book of Allah, and we do not believe in you unless we touch that book and see that it has come from the sky, and many such things. And Allah says, even if you do all these things, they are not going to... They had proofs, but they wanted something which, of course, was out of the boundaries of a human being. And sometimes they brought it, but they said, this is not in our capacity to do. It is only Allah who decides whether he wants to bring such a very extraordinary proof or not. Yeah. And about this concept, coming back, inshallah, we come to the verse, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. We would say that, following a person, however good instructions they give us in the religion of God, following a person is conditioned by two facts. First, of course, they are not asking any reward, any wage for it. And second, they are guided by Allah directly. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. So if someone is not directly guided by God, they are guided by the Prophet, and then they say, okay, we think that this is good to do, we should not follow them, we could not follow them. We will discuss this in length, inshallah, when it comes to it. Well, to give some Shia flavor to our tafsir as well.
sisters first, can you go?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you for that speech again. May I ask, You know this concept of books, how does it relate to when Allah says in the Quran that He created the heavens and the earth with on haqq, on truth?
In what sense do you mean? Because there is no kind of contradiction or no kind of relation between these two. I mean, the book is written according to the truth and according to haqq, and the creation is according to that book, so it's according to haqq as well.
In that case, then what does it mean when it says that the heavens and the earth are created on haqq?
What does it mean? It means that it's not a play. It means that it is things in this world is not created for nothing, for no purpose. It is created, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. It is according to a truth, to a kind of justifiable end which it comes to. So it's not a play, it's not a vain thing that we have created, and everything in this world is according, well, is judged according to a standard which is there. And that standard, of course, one other meaning of this وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ means that there is a standard which everything in this world is judged according to that standard. So nothing would go unnoticed, nothing would go in vain. Yeah.
Yeah, can you go to the sisters first, then we'll feel us then. Okay.
You know, in the Quran, Allah refers to Sunnah of Him, Himself. Is this the laws of creation, and is it all the laws that apply to the universe? Sunnah, is that what he applied?
Well, universe, of course, is a very tiny part of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has actually, as I said, this world is created in a very systematic way. So everything happening in it is according to a sunnah of Allah, according to a rule, according to a regulation. So when Allah talks about His sunnah, that وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا, it means that He is not going to change His methods. It is something written right from the beginning, it goes to the end, and for Him there is no beginning, no end actually, it's just for us. So there is no change of method, no change of idea, no change of opinion in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
Firoz?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
You mentioned in the summary of last week's lecture that there was this kitab and different types of kitab, and you mentioned also that there's a kitab for a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just enlighten as to how that would be defined, and what is our individual responsibility towards it? I mean, how are we going to define our, for example, is it a nation based on race, ethnicity, is it based just on religion? And how do it? Is it just based on your local community? And could you just sort of share as to where our responsibility lies and what we are supposed to do to how it will be judged?
Yeah. Well, when we talk about nations in the Quran, it's religion nations actually. And that nation has one common point, and that's the prophet of that nation. So there are, in many places in the Quran, Allah mentions that the prophets would come. And then, of course, Allah asks them about their nations. So, say for example, well, ask them about their nations and ask the nations about their prophets. Okay, what ماذا عجبتم المرسلين? What did you respond? What response did you give to your prophets? So, as I said, religion is strongly tied with the prophet, with his prophet. And the prophet actually is the one who looks into the book of all his nation. Say for example, at the end of Surah Ma'idah, we have a discourse, kind of thing, a dialogue between Allah and Isa alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment. It says, did you tell your people to worship you and your mother as two gods? And he says, no, you are glorified. If I would have said such, you would have known about it. So these kind of things would go. And that book of the nation, of course, anyone saying that I am following Isa alayhi salam, his actions is going to be judged according to that book of Isa alayhi salam. Anyone claiming that I am following Muhammad, peace be upon him, their actions are judged according to his book. So, and of course, it's not claimed. Sometimes we claim that we are from Ummah of the Prophet, and on the Day of Judgment we will see that we are not. And then we are going to be judged according to other books and other things. So it's a kind of complicated thing, but as I said, it's very systematic. And everything is categorized, it's put in different classified things on the Day of Judgment. And whatever you say, whatever you claim, you are going to be asked about it. And your actions is going to be actually tallied with what you said. And therefore, the book of that nation is going to judge you whether you are included in that nation, and if you are included, how you have performed and how you have actually delivered. Yeah.
Sorry, can I have a quick follow-up question? If following from that, that means that, for example, in the present day, we claim that we are Muslims, so we'll be judged according to the prophet that we claim. Mm-hmm. But what about those who are non-Muslim, for the Christians or others? Will they be judged even today's contemporary for human beings at that day? Because even though, in spite of the fact that the prophet is the last prophet, they claim that they're still following the steps of Isa or Musa. Does that still mean that they could potentially be judged even from our time, at that time, according to that religion?
Yes.
So really, in that sense, that the obligation to them is only to follow what they claim to be following, not necessarily to be follow Islam, because the clear message has not come to them. Could we conclude that?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay, sisters, can we have a different sister, if possible, this time? Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Okay.
That was taken as a rude remark. I didn't mean that. Sorry about that.
You were just saying that all the human beings have all books, like what is wrong and right is written in the book. So the Prophet is human being like us. Do you mean to say that he has a book as well? That
yes,
of course. Surely he do anything wrong? That
well, what is the meaning of wrong and right here? I mean, when we come to prophets, things change. Everything changes. I mean, we shouldn't judge them according to our own standards. Allah would judge them according to different standards, since He has chosen them. So their task is very, very difficult, and very deliberately, very delicately, they have to actually convey the message, perform this work in such a way that they are not dropped from the position that they have. So yes, they have books, they are judged, but of course they don't go through the phases that we go. For example, in Barzakh, if we are punished, or on the Day of Judgment, if we go through different phases. Now, they are judged differently according to their own book. And their book is, of course, for example, when it says, إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي الْلِينَ, the book of Abrar is in the Lean, then it says, this Al-Lean is at the presence of Muqarrabun. So Muqarrabun has something different, actually. They have their own kind of judgments and stuff. And still they are human beings. I mean, because of these differences, we couldn't say that they are not human beings. There are different kind of treatments for human beings. So, yes, they would go through all these phases, but in a different way.
Sorry. Sometimes there is a bit of confusion about messengers and apostles and prophets. Mm-hmm. For example, we have the case of Musa alayhi salam, when he was on the ship with another, some say he was Prophet Khidr, some say he was somebody else, mm-hmm. who went along on the ship, and Musa alayhi salam objected to these three things that is usually mentioned there, and the other person corrected him in all the things that Musa alayhi salam objected to. Were prophets sent to guide other prophets? Were messengers sent to guide other prophets? Although there is usually made a distinction between messengers and prophets, is it always clear, and is a messenger supposed to be the most knowledgeable of his time? In which case, how do you explain the case of Musa and this other person?
Well, messengers we have in the Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Some of the messengers are superior to other messengers. And if they live together, of course, the superior one would bring more guidance, and that guidance is followed by the other one who doesn't have that kind of knowledge. Like the example of Ibrahim and Lut, alayhim as-salam, for example. Ibrahim was a messenger, Lut was a messenger, but of course Ibrahim was of a very, very high status, much higher than Lut. In the story of Musa and Khiv, what I believe is that this story happened before Musa became a prophet. We know Musa went through many different phases. At the beginning, when he was at the house of Pharaoh, when he came to age, say 20, 25, something like that, Allah says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ عَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So we gave him حُكْم and عِلْم, which is حِكْمَة and عِلْم, of course, but not still a prophet, not still a messenger. And in this way we, of course, reward Muhsinun. And we are told in the history that Musa alayhi salam was sent to a military excursion, to a military mission by Pharaoh when he was young. Of course, well, he was a princess. He was a prince. And all princes were sent to missions, especially to military missions. And, well, there is some vague history that he was sent to a mission to Africa. Well, to Central Africa, to fight some black people, and of course he didn't fight with them. He deserted his army, actually, and most possibly it was at that time that he met Khidr there, and he was told to follow him, to learn from him. So there's nothing wrong that Musa was not still a prophet. He was a young man with hikmah and ilm, and Allah actually put Khidr on his way to teach him things that he didn't know before becoming a prophet. So if we take this time difference in mind, I mean, Musa was not always the Musa bringing the Torah. There was young Musa, well, older Musa, old Musa. So if we take it to be young Musa before receiving Torah and other things, and Khidr, of course, being a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing wrong with this, that Musa was learning from Khidr. And these ahadith which is made about the story that Musa once thought that, is there anyone more knowledgeable than me, and Allah wanted to show him that there is someone knowledgeable and he knows nothing. Well, it is much more like the stories made by Banu Israel, just to diminish the status of their prophets, because they were so small in ethical and integrity standards that they wanted to diminish their prophets as well, to bring them down to their own levels. So they always talked about such things, about their prophets, and I don't think we could believe in most of them.
Okay, we'll be able to fit in just one question, if you don't mind, Sheikh, from a completely new person who hasn't asked at all. Nobody? Then we'll go to Safra. There is a Safra's name. Thank you.
Just following on from your answer, are you saying that prophets graduate from not being prophets to becoming prophets? In other words, they're not as knowledgeable and get more knowledge each time?
Oh, of course. This is very obvious. I mean, even our prophet in the Quran says, رَبِّ زَدْنِي عَلْوَ وَرَبِّ زَدْنِي عَلْمَ. Oh God, increase my knowledge. So, of course, they are not born prophets. They are born, of course, they are special people. Otherwise, they weren't chosen to be prophets. But, I mean, prophet before receiving revelation is different from prophet after receiving revelation. Before Jibreel coming to our prophet, Jibreel didn't come all the time, right from the beginning when prophet was a child to him. He came at the age of 40. So, of course, Jibreel gave him new things. If he knew all these things, there was no need for Jibreel coming to him. So this is a wrong concept to think that the prophets are born prophets. No, they are special, blessed people which are capable to be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive the revelation, and they receive it at a certain time, at a certain age, and that would increase their knowledge, and still after receiving revelation, they increase and increase in their knowledge. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Inshallah, see you next week.
Thank you much.